Listen to the story now.
This is a story about a storyteller. Not just an ordinary storyteller. This storyteller was able to tell stories about one of the greatest tzaddikim of all time, the Baal Shem Tov of Michelstadt. He knew stories that no one else knew, because he was a very close Talmud of the Baal Shem, and served him and assisted his Rebbe at all times. Everyone liked to hear his stories. However, there was one person in particular who wanted to hear his stories more than anyone else. Listen to this amazing story and find out why. About 100 years ago, in a small Bavarian inn, at one of the tables in the corner, sat three men. One of them, an elderly man, about 60, was Reb Zelig. He had been the shamus of the great Baal Shem Tov of Michelstadt. After the Baal Shem had died, Reb Zelig became a storyteller, traveling from city to city, telling stories about the life of the great Baal Shem Tov. The other two men were Jewish merchants from Italy. The three of them had just met by chance in this inn. The two merchants had been sitting for hours, listening to Reb Zelig's wonderful tales. Finally, one of them said,
"Reb Zelig, I think you would be interested to know that in the city of Venice, there lives a certain banker, Giuseppe Menashe. He is a very rich and noble Jew and is very well respected in the community. Now this Giuseppe has announced that he will give a golden ducat to anyone who can tell him a story about the Baal Shem Tov of Michelstadt. Why don't you go to Venice, Reb Zelig, and see the man? With all your stories about the Baal Shem, you would make a fortune. You could go there just once and retire for the rest of your life."
This sounded very logical to Reb Zelig, but it took him some time to make up his mind. Because old and tired as he was, he didn't care to travel so far away from his home. But he finally decided to go. And after 3 weeks of difficult traveling, he reached Venice. This was on a Tuesday. The next day, Reb Zelig was taken to Giuseppe Menashe. Reb Zelig saw before him a man about 50 years old, with a striking long beard that was already beginning to show some hairs of gray. "Signor Menashe," for this is how he was called in Venice, made a very good impression on Reb Zelig. He seemed to inspire confidence, and he received Reb Zelig very kindly.
"What do you want, my good man?"
he asked Reb Zelig.
"I was a student and close friend of the Baal Shem Tov of Michelstadt, and I heard that you are very interested in the life and deeds of my great rabbi."
Signor Menashe seemed very happy when he heard this.
"Yes, yes, indeed. I am really very sorry that I cannot spend more time with you now. You see, I am a very busy man here. My bank, you know. Please, remain here over Shabbos as my guest, and then we shall have more time to talk at leisure about the great Baal Shem Tov. I assure you, you shall have a very pleasant time while you stay with us."
Reb Zelig consented and moved into the beautiful house of Signor Menashe. A beautiful house, as befitted a wealthy man. Reb Zelig was given a fine room and was treated with the greatest honor and respect. Friday night, after the meal, Signor Menashe sat back and said with an expected smile,
"And now we shall hear what we have waited to hear for so long."
Reb Zelig stroked his forehead, wondering which of his many stories to tell. Signor Menashe and his family and the other guests at the table waited. They waited 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10. But Reb Zelig did not start yet. He became slightly embarrassed and began to sweat. He rubbed his forehead again and again. But instead of deciding which story to tell, Reb Zelig could not remember a single story. This was awful. It had never happened before. His mind was a complete blank. A half hour went by and still no story. The family and the guests began to grumble.
"Imposter! Cheat! Phony!"
But the kind Signor Menashe quieted them.
"Reb Zelig, do not be disturbed. You must be tired from your long journey. Tomorrow, when you are rested, we will hear some stories from you."
Reb Zelig was relieved, but not for long. Because on Shabbos morning, no stories. Again, Signor Menashe was gracious and said,
"We shall wait until tonight at the Malava Malka."
Then, when it happened for a third time, Reb Zelig was really worried. He did not know what to think. He went to his host and said,
"Please forgive me, Signor Menashe, but I cannot explain this strange occurrence. Perhaps I never should have come to Venice. But it is really strange. I cannot even see the Baal Shem in my mind's eye. I must thank you for your hospitality. I shall leave tomorrow.
No, Reb Zelig, don't leave. Stay a few days longer. I am still very anxious to hear your stories. Maybe you'll remember in a few days.
Reb Zelig agreed to stay overnight. The following morning he said to Signor Menashe,
"All night I have not slept, trying to remember a story. All in vain. I really must go. But wait, I remember. Just now, I reminded myself of something. Would you like to hear it?"
Reb Zelig began.
"This was about 20 years ago. One day the Baal Shem Tov called to me and said,
'Prepare yourself for a trip. We both must go to Dobrin in the Tyrol for the Easter festival.'
I was very surprised, for no Jews were allowed to stay in Tyrol without special permission. What could the Baal Shem have wanted there? When we arrived in Dobrin, however, we found that one Jewish family had received permission to live there. They were unwilling for us to stay with them, especially because it was the time of the Easter festival, which was to be held in the town square directly opposite their house, and it was dangerous for us to be seen at that time. But the Baal Shem insisted, and they finally agreed. A large platform had been set up in the square, and Sunday morning, Easter, the Baal Shem and I watched a gathering crowd from behind a curtained window. At 10 o'clock, the bishop arrived. At that moment, the Baal Shem spoke to me.
'Go up to the bishop and whisper in his ear that the Baal Shem of Michelstadt is here and wants to speak to him.'
I was astonished. I did not question my rabbi. I walked out into the crowd, my heart beating fearfully, and delivered the message. The bishop looked at me for a second and whispered back,
'After I finish the service.'
I returned his answer to the Baal Shem. He looked angry and said,
'Go back. Tell him to come immediately. Every second he delays, the danger increases.'
We were afraid now that the Baal Shem had gone out of his mind. But I had been trained not to question his commands. I delivered the second message. And to my great surprise, the bishop told an assistant to carry on with the service and then followed me. No one could understand the meaning of what was going on. Back in the house, the Baal Shem Tov asked to be left alone with the bishop. For 2 hours they were alone in a room. I do not know what went on in there. All I know is that the bishop came out of the room, hurried into his carriage in the square, and drove away. That's all I know of the story."
Suddenly, Signor Menashe got up, and with a trembling voice, he made the blessing of Shehecheyanu. He then turned to Reb Zelig.
20 years have I waited for this day. I am, or rather was, the bishop of your story. But let me start from the beginning. I was once one of the best pupils of the Baal Shem. For 4 years I learned very well in Michelstadt, and everyone had high hopes for me. Then one day I met by accident, at least then I thought it was by accident, the priest from Orbach. He told me he wanted me to teach him Hebrew. I thought this was harmless, and started to teach him every day. But while I was teaching him, he was also teaching me. Every day he talked to me about his religion. He flattered me about my wonderful mind and my great possibilities. He promised me the best of everything, if only I would accept his beliefs. I was young then, and not so wise, and after a few months, I consented. I left Michelstadt. No one knew what had happened to me. My family and friends thought that I had died in an accident, and they mourned for me. But I was alive, in a monastery in Feldkirch. I studied well, and soon I became a priest. I was really quite capable, and I grew and advanced in the church system until I finally became a bishop. By this time I was quite rich, and I now realize that consciously or subconsciously, it was because of my greed for money that I enjoyed my position. But little by little I began to regret my conversion, and one day I decided to write my old rabbi, the Baal Shem, to ask him if there was any way, any hope for a sinner like me.
Signor Menashe took a bundle of letters from a locked drawer in his desk.
This is my total correspondence with the Baal Shem. Read the first letter and tell me if a father could write his son a more loving letter. Although I had sinned, he felt that I could still repent. I was sure then that Hashem himself, the Father of mercy, would also forgive me. But it took me a long time to break away. My greed for money and honor were still within me. We wrote many letters back and forth. The Baal Shem told me to break away immediately and forbade me to even take a coin of my church-earned wealth. I could not make up my mind. Finally, I decided that after the Easter festival in Debrin, I would really leave, and I wrote to Baal Shem Tov about my decision. He did not answer that letter. Instead, he came himself to Debrin. He sent you to call me. You remember now that I had to go to him immediately. I can tell you what happened in the room. He said that if I didn't break away that very minute, I would never again repent. It was now or never. Even so, he wasn't sure my repentance would be accepted. Perhaps only my death could cleanse me. I saw that he was right, and I did as he told me and took the name Giuseppe Menashe, and I have tried to live a proper Jewish life. God has helped me, and I prospered here. But I was never sure that my repentance was really accepted. When you came to Venice, I recognized you, although you didn't recognize me. I knew it was a sign from my dear departed rabbi. When you couldn't remember a single story, I realized that my repentance had not been enough. All the time you were here, I prayed and learned all through the night. Finally, you told me my own story. I am sure now that my soul is at last clean again. You don't know how happy you have made me.
Senor Menashe gave Reb Zelig a handsome gift of money from which he could live for the rest of his life, quietly and peacefully. And so ends the story of the bishop and the storyteller.